I would like to thank Greg and the other organizers for the opportunity to participate in this workshop and for the opportunity to speak. The title of my talk is Minimal Unitary Representations of Udiality Groups, Conformal Quantum Mechanics and External Black Holes. Let me start first reviewing some of the well-known facts, if this works. Oh, no. Okay. About udiality groups. Now, 11 dimensions for gravity, dimensionally reduced to d dimensions, results in a maximum supergravity. Sorry, with the global udiality of the type that belongs to the E series. Like in 5 dimensions, you will have E66. With the maximal compact subgroup BSB8, when then in that theory we have 27 vector fields which transform linearly under E66. In 4 dimensions, the udiality group is E77, with the maximal compact subgroup SU8, and the 28 vector fields and their duals transform in the linear representation of E77. And in 4 dimension, in contrast to 5 dimension, E77 is an on-shell symmetry only. In 5, it's an off-shell. I mean, it's a symmetry of the Lagrangian. And in 3 dimensions, all the bosonic fields can be dualized to scalar fields, and we get this coset space that you're all familiar with. Now, at the full non-perturbative M-theory, we expect only a discrete subgroup of these udiality groups to be symmetries when toroid will compactify to d dimensions. Now, udiality groups come up also in matter-coupled supergravity theories. Du Bois alluded to some of these theories in his talk. He called them very special supergravity theories. Let me review some of the facts about those very special supergravity theories. Now, these theories were constructed back in 83, starting from 5 dimensions. I mean, then we tried to couple arbitrary number of vector multiples, n equals to vector multiples, which is the minimal number of supersymmetry in 5 dimensions, to n equals to supergravity. Now, if you, well, a runs from 1 to n, if you combine the gravity photon with the other vector fields labeled with this index I, the bosonic part of the Lagrangian is a very simple form. This is the metric of the scalar manifold, and there is this FFA dot coupling with a constant symmetric tensor in front. Okay. Now, what's remarkable about this is that the entire theory is uniquely determined by CIJK. Let me explain how this reflects itself in some of the properties of the theory. Okay, for example, you can consider an n plus 1 dimensional ambient space, okay, with coordinates hi, you know, whose metric is determined by this cubic form, okay, and you take the second derivative of this logarithm of this cubic form, take this as the metric on this ambient space. Now you can show that the scalar manifold is a hypersurface in this n plus 1 dimensional ambient space. Well, you can choose it to be, normalize it to be 1, the hypersurface condition. And that this quantity that appears in front of the kinetic energy term of the vector field is nothing but this metric of the ambient space evaluated the hypersurface, and the metric of the scalar manifold is nothing but the pullback of this metric to the hypersurface. Okay.
Is there a misprint? Do you mean logarithm of n or logarithm of
nu? Logarithm of n. I'm sorry. Oh, I switched from nu to n. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. This should be n. Yeah.
And nu is also n equals 1.
Yeah. This is n. Oh, okay. Sorry. I switched halfway. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. These are. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Let me write this down. Nu is n Okay. Anyway, so, in the, as I said, the term of the entire theory, in particular, the symmetries of the C-tensor determine the global symmetries of these theories. Okay. See. Now, you get these type of theories if you compactify M-theory or 11-dimensional supergravity on a Calabi-Yau manifold coupled to additional hypermultiples, N equals hypermultiples. Okay? So when you obtain these theories with additional hypermultiples from M-theory, the Cijk are nothing but the topological intersection numbers of the Calabi-Yau, and the number of vector fields is given by the H11 plus 1. I mean, vector multiples, I should say. Now, the Riemann tensor of the scalar manifold of these theories takes on a very simple form, as written here, where T is a symmetric tensor that determines the Yukawa couplings in the theory, and it's just a pullback of the C tensor onto the scalar manifold. Now, clearly, if T is covariantly constant, this is covariantly constant, so that the scalar manifold becomes a symmetric space. Okay. Now, this condition, plus, of course, the supersymmetry constraint, plus the requirement that all the kinetic energy terms be positive definite, imply that this, again, this refers to the cubic norm, can be identified with the norm form of a Euclidean Jordan algebra of degree 3.
So this won't be true for a generic
Calabi-Yau? No, it won't be.
Where is it failing?
This, yeah. Of course, you don't have a symmetric space. Okay. And in that case, when this cubic norm form can be identified with the norm form of a Jordan algebra of degree 3, scalar manifold is a symmetric space of the form what the mathematicians call the reduced structure group, which is the invariance group of the norm of the Jordan algebra, divided by its automorphism group. Okay. I'll introduce some different terminology for these later.
So which Calabi-Yaus would lead to this situation? I imagine K3 times K2, maybe the
Yeah, T6 minus Z3, that's the one of these theories is particularly here. That's right. On the orbifold of T6, some of these can be obtained. Maybe you should hold your question until I list these possible theories. From the symmetries, you can see which ones could be related to Calabi-Yau. Okay. Now, just a few facts about Jordan algebras. Now, these are algebra that have the symmetric product, which is non-associative, but you have associative between x, y, and x squared. Euclidean, or mathematically called the formula real Jordan algebras, have the property that if x squared plus y squared is 0, that both x and y must be 0. Now, M-Bayer Hermitian matrices over real numbers, complex, and quaternions form a Jordan algebra under this anti-commutative product. Okay, which this symmetric product preserves hermeticity, and we denote them as JNR, JNC, JNH. And there is another one which is not over an associative division algebra, namely 3 by 3 Hermitian octonionic matrices. They also form a Jordan algebra under this product. It's called exceptional because it has no realization in terms of some associative matrices with the product being of this form. Okay? So it's called exceptional Jordan algebra. Other examples of Jordan algebras are the Dirac gamma matrices in d-dimensional Euclidean space. They form a Jordan algebra. Okay? Now, there are only four simple Jordan algebras of degree 3. They are these Hermitian matrices over the four division algebras, and an infinite family of Jordan algebras of degree 3.
What does degree mean?
They give me the norm, the degree of the norm. I mean, if it's cubic norm.
So,
the norm in this case will be a determinantal form.
You haven't mentioned the norm yet in the general overview.
Okay. Well, I said that in the previous thing.
No, I understood that there was a norm in the supergravity.
I said that here, that's right, that can be identified with the norm form of Euclidean ordinary algebra of degree 3.
You just mean a Jordan algebra with a norm of...
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Norm. Yes, that's right. Yeah, I mean, like the determinant of a 3x3 matrix.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a norm form. I mean, there are some remarkable properties of the norms themselves, but I won't go into that. So the only four simply the ordinary algebra of degree 3, they are indicated here, and an infinite family of non-simple ordinary algebra, which is a direct sum of a one-dimensional ordinary algebra with a quadratic ordinary algebra.
It's a product.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. You can define a quadratic map using the C tensor, as shown here. Now, you can show that if you this covariant constancy of the T tensor that implied that the scalar map of the symmetric space is equivalent to this identity. That's a bit of a lengthy calculation to show, but you can do that. As I said, that this is one of the remarkable properties of this Jordan algebra of degree 3. The scalar manifold, I indicated what I mean earlier, what these are. This is the invariance group of the Jordan algebra divided by the automorphism group. Now, for the generic...
This group means the linear transformation preserving the cubic norm. That's what
the SCR is earlier. Yes, reduced structure group is that.
So that's the component of the identity?
No, this leaves the component of the identity invariant automorphism group. This transforms it, the identity, into the other elements.
No, I meant...
Sub-zero
must
mean the component of the identity.
Yeah, that's right. No, but this means that, you see, the structure group, I will come to that later, includes also dilatations, multiplication by overall factor of the norm, scaling of the norm. Reduced structure means that you're leaving the norm invariant. Structure group means that you leave it invariant up to an overall scale factor. Now, for the generic Jordan family, they are not irreducible. Reducible Jordan algebras, the cubic norm has the form of a real number times the quadratic form associated with this quadratic Jordan algebra. In that case, the scalar manifold takes this form. You can see that the reduced structure group is not simple in this case. Whereas for the four simple Jordan algebras, the scalar manifolds are indicated here. Okay, and they discovered the coupling of 5 vector multiplets 8, 14, and 26 to n equals to supergravity. As I said, in this case, the norm form is just the determinantal form, or its generalization to this octonionic case by Freud and Thal. Okay. No, any questions so far? Now, what's... So special about these four series defined by simple Jordan algebras of degree 3? Well, they are the only theories that are unified whose scalar manifolds are symmetric spaces. What I mean by unified is that there's a symmetry of the theory, which is a combination of SUSY and global UDRT, by which you can go from any field to any other field in this theory. Now, supersymmetry moves you within the supergraviton supermultiplet or from the vector supermultiplet, and this simple UDRT groups rotates the gravity 4 times to the other vector fields. So that unified means that CIJK is an invariant tensor of a simple group. Okay. So these are the only theories whose scalar manifolds are symmetric spaces. That was the story back in 83. But if you relax the condition that the scalar manifold will be homogeneous or symmetric, you find that there is actually three infinite families of unified theories in five dimensions. and the sporadic one is realized with Zagerman just 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, let me mention that in that case, the organ algebras that underlie these additional theories that are not, whose scale members are not homogeneous, there the CIGK identified with the structure constants of the non-compact Lorentz Jordan algebras of degree greater than 4.
Okay.
And the degree 4 cases coincide with this above theories, so that these families that we found sit at the bottom of an infinite tower.
Whereas in the previous case, the CIGK were the coefficients of the door.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Here, not that this, I said, are the structured constants, not the, it's still.
So the CIGK were not structured.
Before it was the thing that determined the norm. Here these are the structure constants of the traceless elements of Jordan algebra. Of course, if you look for a symmetric tensor of rank 3, what better place to look than some commutative algebra? Okay, that's why it's so natural to look at Jordan algebras. I mean, but of course the constraint, I mean, why you cannot work with arbitrary Jordan algebras or arbitrary signatures is that you want positivity of the kinetic energy terms. That's what forces you to have this Lorentzian Jordan algebras. As I said, these are hermeticity, these are Hermitian matrices with respect to a metric, Lorentzian metric. Okay, that was an aside.
How do the operators act on the Hilbert
space? Sorry?
How do the operators act on the Hilbert space of states?
Well, Hilbert space, I'll come to that. I mean, this is, you're talking about the global symmetry?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll come to that. I mean, that's where the unitary representations enter. Okay, I mean, the state space must furnish a unitary representation of whatever global symmetries you have of the theory. Okay. That's the story about the unitary representation of the uniality groups. Okay. But we don't know the entire spectra of these theories. Okay. So, but on the fields, we know how they act. There's absolutely no doubt here.
But it can't be linear somehow.
No, on the scale, it acts non-linearly. On the vector field, it acts linearly. Okay? See, as I said, the structured group leaves the... Well, let's talk about symmetric cases. Structured group leaves the norm invariant. You know, you have 6 vector fields here. They transform linearly under SL3R, okay, where the scalars parameterize this coset space. They transform non-linearly. Similarly here, like for the exceptional theory, there are 27 vectors that form a linear representation of E6, okay, where the scalars parameterize this coset space. Now, by dimension reducing these very special supergravity theories, you obtain 4D and 3D supergravity theories whose geometries are referred to as very special complex and very special quaternion geometry. Now, let me list those. You obtain symmetric spaces when you dimension reduce these theories. Like for the generic family, in 4 dimensions, this is the scalar manifold. And in 3 dimensions, it's a quaternion manifold of this type. Note that the group becomes simple when you go to 3 dimensions. This is for the generic Jordan family. It exists for any n. And then, but one aside I should mention here. Now, if you take the pure supergravity, dimension reduced to 4 dimensions, you get two, after you have one vector multiple additional coming from the graviton in 5 dimensions. So you have 2 vector fields. Their field strengths and their duals form the spin 3F representation of this SU1 symmetry in 4 dimensions. And when you further reduce it to 3 dimensions, you get a coset space of this G22 over SU2 coset SU2. It's a non-compact real form of G2 with a maximal compact subgroup, SU2 coset SU2. Okay. Now, here I listed the symmetry groups of this n equals 2 theory defined by simple Jordan algebras of degree 3. Here I listed the compact symmetry groups in 5 dimensions and U-duality group in 5, U-duality group in 4, U-duality group in 3 dimensions. Well, if you look at this, you realize this is the famous magic square of Freudenthal, Rosenfeld, and Titz. That's why we refer to these as magical supergravity theories. We would like to draw your attention to the last column, If you look at this, it's UDL, and I want to compare it with the N equals A supergravity. Here I wrote the exception supergravity defined by the exception Jordan algebra, and here's the maximum sugra. In five dimensions, scalar manifold here is this, whereas in the maximum supergravity is this. So it's the same E6, but a different real form. Okay, similarly in four, we have E7, but a different real form for the exception supergravity, and also in three dimensions. Okay?
So are those coming from compactification of low-dimensional supergravity or something?
This, the higher dimensional origin of these were investigated by Larry Romans, and I'll come to that. I think he found evidence that they should originate from six dimensions. And how you come down to six dimensions is an interesting story. I don't know. I mean, that it's not a completely understood higher dimensional origin of these theories. But I'll come to that when I discuss S versus T duality versus U duality, okay? Why there is evidence that they may originate from six dimensions, I mean, these theories. Now, but there is a common sector of these two theories, though. See, there's a large common sector. This is the theory defined by the Jordan algebra of degree 3 over the quaternions. You see, this coset space sits inside both of them. This is inside both, and this sits inside both of them. Okay? Now, here it is what I meant. The Hall and Townsend, when they introduced the term U-duality, well, I interpret it always as U being unifying, based on a conversation I had with Hall right at the time they had done in a pub, but I'm being told that actually they were making a joke with the term U because there was S variable, T variable of Mandelstam, and they introduced the U variable. I don't know, maybe over a beer he may have put it differently. Anyway, so you can think of this E77 as unifying the T duality group with the S duality group. And an analog of this in five dimensions would be this decomposition of E66. Now, if you do the same decomposition for the exceptional supergravity, you find that the commutator of the S duality group is 10,2 in four dimensions, and in five dimensions, 9,1. It's indicating that this is coming from six dimensions. It says, actually, I call this exception as the n equals 2 cousin of the n equals 8 theory. Okay? Its high dimensional origin is not clear. Okay? You know, Larry Romans, who left the field, when I saw him 2 years ago, that was the first question he asked me. Did anybody figure out the high dimensional origin of these theories? Okay, now I will take an aside to introduce some terminology. You'll see why I'm doing that. It will make it very easy, for analyzing some things like the orbits of the BPS black hole solutions in that language. This is a work that goes back to 1975. Actually, this was my first paper on supersymmetry. So at the time when Victor Katz had not yet classified all the Lie superalgebras, we're all looking for the exceptional super algebra whose gauging will lead to the unified theory of everything, all that type of stuff. Anyway, I propose a generalized, quantitizing generalized spacetime using Jordan algebras. I mean, this idea is the following. You can parameterize Minkowski space coordinates using the 2x2 Hermitian matrices. That's nothing but Jordan algebra J2C. And identify the automorphism group, the rotation group in four dimensions, and the invariance group of the norm, which is just the determinant here, it becomes Minkowski metric, with the reduced structure group, okay, and then the linear fractional group of the Jordan algebra, which is generated by translations, inversions, and Lorentz transformations times dilatations, you identify with the conformal group. That's the Möbius group of the Jordan algebra. This concept of a Möbius group was introduced by Köher earlier for Jordan algebras. So, and I will strength to, anyway, it's a long story. Now, let's see what that, in fact, it's in my paper that this list, I didn't give the different real forms. I said, depending on the Jordan algebra, you get different real forms. Now, let's do that. Now, we coordinate the general space-time with the Jordan algebra. And it's automatically the rotation group, the structure group is the Lorentz group, and the Möbius group is the conformal group. Now, for the exceptionally ordered algebra over the real octonions, which is a division algebra, rotation group is F4, Lorentz group is E6 minus 26, a conformal group is E7 minus 25.
This is
a
26-dimensional space-time?
Yeah, this would be a 27-dimensional space-time. I think Gary should like that, but anyway. When you go over the split octonions, the rotation group becomes F4-4, Lorentz group becomes E6-6, the conformal group becomes E7-7. Okay. Now, using this language with, before that, let me give you an aside. Now, here I listed the Lorentz rotation groups, Lorentz groups, and conformal groups of Jordan algebras that are Euclidean. Now, for the gamma D series, this is the ordinary rotation group, Lorentz group, and conformal group in D plus one dimensional Minkowski spacetime. But then when you go to these guys, you know, the norm is no longer quadratic, and you get these interesting possibilities. Now, what I would like to draw your attention to is that all these conformal groups admit positive energy unitary representations, so that you can describe causal evolution in these spacetimes. Sorry. Yeah. Let me go back.
So going back to the previous case, that 27-dimensional space-time has what signature for J3O?
Lorentz group is E6 minus 26.
What's the signature of the 27-dimensional space-time?
Well, that sits inside. Is that sits inside SL 27R.
Right, but I mean, surely...
Signature is that, well, this is the coset space. I mean, well, the concept of signature becomes a bit screwed because you now have a cubic form.
The norm is not parametric. Pardon? The norm is not parametric. It's cubic.
Okay? So, like the math operator would be cubic. Yeah. Now, well, even though originally I proposed this generalization of the conformal groups and so on, but I only was familiar with the work of Kircher, but later I realized the work of Cantor related to this, which actually justified the terminology that I introduced. Let me go back. You can show that, you know, if you have a Jordan algebra of degree P, you know, you can linearize it, so that you get a P form, symmetric P form. And so the norm is just, and you take the arguments of the P form all the same, of the element X. Then you can generalize the concept of a two-angle, ordinary angle, you know, invariance of measure of P angle, okay? This will be like the cosine square of the angle for when P is equal to 2, to your algebra with P forms, or your algebra of degree 3. Like, he showed that the conformal group of the Jordan algebra leaves this the measure of P angle, as he called it. Now, when P is equal to 2, this reduces to the ordinary conformal invariant. Okay? But not only that, he showed that this cross ratio, that is the invariant, is also left invariant when you take higher order P forms. So, Now, another indication why the terminology is justified. You know, there's a construction of the Lie algebras of these conformal groups by Titz, Cantor, and Kircher, where you give a figurative decomposition to the conformal Lie algebra with respect to the structure algebra, which is the Lorentz algebra times plus dilatations. And then grade minus one space becomes the translation. This becomes the special conformal generators. Okay. Now, what the Titz, Cantor, and TKK do is that they establish a mapping from this space to a Jordan algebra, and similarly by conjugation with this space to a Jordan algebra. And then you label the elements of this space with the element of a Jordan algebra, another element of Jordan algebra. You define this as the SAB. By the consistency that SAB with UC should give you something in grade minus one space, so that there should be a triple product under which this set closes. This is nothing but Jordan triple product that I wrote down there. Okay, all those conformal algebras I wrote down can be obtained by this TKK construction. Now the conformal realization on this space because it takes on a very simple form in this language for it's applicable to all cases actually. This take a space-time coordinate in this generalized space-time coordinate by J, the action of translations is given by this. Action of spherical conformal transformation is given by this Jordan triple product. It's quadratic in X, as it should be. And then Lorentz group times dilatation is given by this. Now in this case, the generalized Poincaré group will be the semi-direct product of the Lorentz, this reduced structure group with the translations. Okay. Now, using that language with Sergio Ferrara, we gave the classification of the orbits of BPS black hole solutions of angular supergravity in five dimensions. Now, first of all, this for non-rotating black holes, the entropy is given by the square root of the cubic invariant, where cubic invariant involves the charges of the BPS black hole solutions. Earlier, with Maldacena, he had established the condition for having 1/8 SUSY BPS black hole, 1/4 or 1/2 BP SUSY black holes. So what we did was, we identify with any given BPS black hole solution with charges QI an element of the Jordan algebra of degree 3 over the exceptional over the split octonions. Okay, so check. Sorry, this should be Qs. I'm sorry, this should be QI. So the norm form then becomes nothing but this cubic form, okay? And then you can classify the orbits the way you do in ordinary Minkowski space-time. Time-like, light-like, space-like. Well, you know, you're not interested in space-like orbits because that means you have imaginary entropy. So like time-like orbit is nothing but what I call Lorentz group divided by the rotation group. That's the analog of time-like orbits in four-dimensional Minkowski space. Light-like orbit is for what course of BPS has this form, and the critical light-like orbit, you see, that doesn't occur in the Minkowski space-time because, you see, it's just quadratic, there's the norm. When you have a cubic, you can have a zero norm corresponding to vanishing of one or two eigenvalues of the 3x3 matrix. So this will be when the two eigenvalues vanish. Okay, so that becomes 1/2 BPS. These are the orbits. Now, if you define the distance between two BPS black hole solutions with charges QA and QB as the cubic norm of the difference, now this clearly this distance function invariant under Poincaré group, right? Because this is a 6 invariant cubic form. And it's clearly invariant under translations. But what's interesting is that the light cone with base point JC defined by this condition is invariant under the conformal group E77. This is in five dimensions. Okay, so this suggested, we speculated with Sergio that, this suggests that E77 may act as a spectrum regenerative symmetry in five dimensions. Okay, and a similar story for the N equals 2 supergravity defined by the exception Jordan algebra. I think I may have to speed up, but anyway, you have a similar story, you can give the orbits in that case as well. Again, there is the light cone that's left invariant under the corresponding conformal group E7-25, which is the UDL group in four dimensions, but now it's actually the conformal group in five dimensions. Now, let's go to four dimensions. Now, we also gave the orbits of the BPS black hole solution in four dimensions. There, we knew that the vector field strengths and their dues transform linearly under E77. So, and there is a corresponding mathematical structure that corresponds to those objects. That's the so-called Fraenkel triple system over the underlying Jordan algebra of degree 3. Namely, Fraenkel introduces these 2x2 matrices whose diagonals are real numbers. Off diagonals are elements of the Jordan algebra of degree 3. Okay? And then there is a, he defined a quartic, these goes under a triple product that goes under his name, and he defined a quartic form that's invariant under the automorphism group of this triple system. by using this, we give a classification of the orbits. Well, in that case, now in four dimensions, you have critical light-like, as well as double critical light-like orbits. And the list is given here. Well, H is a Heisenberg algebra of dimension 2n plus 1. I mean, yeah, that, this is the definition of the term. It's a Heisenberg algebra. And T means translations. Okay, now. A similar story for the exceptional supergravity orbits you can classify. So the mapping is in four dimensions between the charges of VPS black hole solutions and elements of a four-dimensional triple system. Now, as I said, there are two, well, this one, automorphism group of this four-dimensional triple system is the U-duality group in four dimensions. I should say the U4.
What's the triple system? Is this 2 by 2 matrix with remission of the
reference? No. It is 2 by 2. This is the along the diagonal, you put two real numbers. Off diagonal are the elements of the ordinary algebra.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure. That's why. You see, this guy corresponds to a black hole in five dimensions with charges QI. Okay. And these are all you have. But now you have, this is the charge of the vector field you get from the gravity in five dimensions, and these are the corresponding momenta.
What kind of algebra do you have on your triple system? You can multiply three objects together?
Yeah, these cause only under triple product. I won't write it down. It's just lengthy.
I see. These kinds of matrices?
Yeah, they don't cause under a binary product. They cause under a triple product. That's cause
J3 of O, so you have to specify the...
Exactly. But here, again, this the four-dimensional product enters of the two Jordan elements that involves the quadratic map and so on. I mean, the lighted taxi if you're interested later, okay? So, now, this is the story for, you know, the correspondence between the field strengths and charges and the four-dimensional triple system in four dimensions. But now, I would like to draw your attention, this automorphism group is isomorphic to the conformal group of the ordinary algebra in five dimensions. Now, you can ask, is there a similar connection between the four-dimensional theories and the three-dimensional theories, that where there's a large conformal symmetry that acts as a spectrum generating symmetry in four dimensions, that's isomorphic to the three-dimensional U-duality group. Okay. So we investigated that question with Köpsel and Nicolai. Unfortunately, E8 does not admit a three gradient with respect to any subgroup of maximal rank, so that it does not admit a realization is a generalized conformal group of the type we discussed. So the next best thing you can do beyond three grading is to go to five grading, such that the grade plus two and minus space become one dimensional. This is the minimal step, you know, going beyond three grading. In fact, all the algebras can be given such a five grading, except for SU2, where it becomes trivial, of course. They can all be realized over what's called the four-dimensional control triple system. I won't go into that. And the association is that this grade plus one space or minus one, so you associate, you map into the elements of a triple system that's sort of a four-dimensional control triple system. Now, actually, the ones that were inside are the four-dimensional triple system because he defined these for the exceptional groups. That's Jordan algebras of degree three. Okay, maybe I should stop and ask if there's any question. Okay. No. I wrote down the automorphism groups of the various triple systems defined over various Jordan algebras of degree 3 here. You can see that the automorphism groups are just this U-duality groups of the in four dimensions. Now, this four-dimensional triple system also admits a symplectic invariant form. And using that, I mean, in fact, you can write the quartic invariant in this form. Namely, this is the four-dimensional triple product of an element with itself, three L copies. And you take the symplectic invariant with another one, and that's the quartic invariant. Okay. So we don't have a conformal realization of V88. Now the next best thing is to try to see if there's some natural generalization of the conformal action to the case of E88. Now, in fact, we found that the E88 can be given this kind of five-graded decomposition, where grade plus 2 and minus 2 spaces are one-dimensional, and grade plus and minus 1 spaces are 56-dimensional. Now, we're going to give a realization of E88 over a 57-dimensional space, whose elements can be mapped to this space plus this space, okay? Now, this element we're going to coordinate with the elements of a four-dimensional triple system over the exceptionally ordered algebra, split exceptionally ordered algebra. This extra one is the singlet. And we define the action of E88 as shown here. Okay? Now, the generators of, maybe I don't know if I can squeeze it in, you know, this five grading, like K. On the small x is a translation, and this UAX on the element of the four-dimensional triple system is by translations. And then this UA on the singlet is just given by the symplectic invariance of A with this four-dimensional triple element, and so on. And this is realization of E88. You can show that it's, you know, this action closes and forms the Lie algebra of E88. You can see it's a highly nonlinear realization. When you go to this positive grade generators, you know, you have this cubic form of X, and then the quartic form enters. And one thing I would like to draw your attention to, that grade plus 1 and plus 2 spaces and grade minus 1 and minus 2 spaces are form a Heisenberg algebra by themselves, okay? Just because UA, UB just gives you this KAB, a K commutes with these guys. Similar story for this.
That relates to the Heisenberg algebra?
Yes, exactly. I'll count that. Exactly.
It's the right way to charge.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that's fine. I mean, that was... okay, it was interesting, but something more interesting is the following. You can define what I call a symplectic difference of two vectors in this 57-dimensional space through the ordinary difference of vectors, except that in the singular sector, you put the symplectic invariant of the 256s for the case in at hand. It's again satisfied by x minus y is minus y minus x. And then you define a quartic norm in this 57-dimensional space, which is just the quartic norm of the four-dimensional triple system minus x squared. That's the singlet squared. Now, clearly, this is invariant under E77 because it's an E77 invariant, and x is an E7 singlet. What's remarkable is that the light cone with the base point yb, defined by taking the quartic norm of the difference vector, symplectic difference vector, is invariant under the action of E88. So this acts as a generalized conformal group, or a generalized light cone, okay? It's not ordinary light cone because of the symplectic piece. No. Okay. So as far as I know, this is the first geometric realization of E8. And it includes that realization as a truncation, the conformal realization of E7 on a 57-dimensional space. And by truncation, you can obtain the quasi-conformal realizations of other exceptional groups. Okay, now. So, but then, again, we do the same as we did in five dimensions. Now, we have now a 57-dimensional space, you know, 56 of which you can identify with the charges of the BPS black hole solutions in four dimensions. So, at the time with... Kepler and Nicolai, we interpreted this extra coordinate as being the entropy, namely that you take such a vector for seven-dimensional space, the light-like condition, light cone condition, relates S, this extra coordinate, to the quartic invariant. Well, we interpreted this as the entropy. Okay? As Boris pointed out, that, well, from a three-dimensional point of view, it may be more natural to interpret this as a not charge or a linear combination. I mean, the story is not over as far as I'm concerned. I still have to, I don't know, I'm on the fence which what is the proper interpretation of this extra coordinate. Okay, but now if you define a distance between two BPS black hole solutions in this charge entropy space, the light-like separations are left invariant in the direction of E88, suggesting that E88 may act as a spectrum-generating symmetry of the four-dimensional supergravity theory, N equals H supergravity theory. And similar story holds for
This was the quasi-conformal group as a geometric action.
Now, by quantizing that quasi-conformal realization, we obtained the minimal unitary representation of E8. Now, let me explain how that comes about. As I told you, that this subspace forms a Heisenberg algebra, so little as this. So what kind of we introduced 28 coordinates and momenta, and realize, and since we...
Plus 2 is one-dimensional?
Yeah, these are one-dimensional.
The central element in the
Heisenberg. Exactly. So, now let's call the... Take the generated belonging to this grade minus 1 space. Call them EIJ, EIJ. Now, we're working in SL8R basis, 28 coordinate, 28 momenta. Multiply with some extra variable y, such that the commutator goes into this guy. This is the central element. Okay, y squared is the central charge. If you want, this is the nut charge. Okay, if you interpret this as the p's and q's, redefine this as p and q, that becomes the nut charge. Now the grade zero you realize is bilinears of these coordinates and momenta, as shown here. Actually, this reduces to a realization that, well, this is exactly the realization that we gave with Sachdol back in the early 80s of E77, but this is written in a coordinate basis. And then we introduce a conjugate to this nut charge or extra coordinate or y, p, and then the grading operator becomes just the following. I'll write the rest of the generators for you. So this is the dotation that gives you five grading. And then the positive grade generators now become quite complicated because they involve the quartic invariant. Now these are involving the quantized XMPs now. Okay? Now this gives this is the minimal unitary representation on the Hilbert space of square integral function in 29 variables. This is called minimal because the 29 is the minimal number of variables over which you can realize unitarily 88. I mean, these dimensions were classified by Joseph, I think it was in the 70s or, no. Okay. Now, what's interesting is that the SL2R, that's the generated belong to grade plus 2 and minus 2 spaces, these... and then dilatation generator and this generator has this form, very simple form. But this is nothing but the realization of SL2R in the conformal quantum mechanics of Fubini and company, with I4 playing the role of coupling constant. Okay? Anyway, you calculate the quadratics and you find, in fact, that C2 of E88 is a constant that it must be if we're talking about irreducible representation. Now, here I would like to point out different things that sit inside this minimal realization. Now, we had a 5 gradient with respect to E77 cross dilatation, but sitting inside E88 in this minimal unitary realization, there's also a conformal realization of E77 over 27 coordinates, and the conformal realization of E77 over 27 momenta. Okay? So that this, if you want, this quasi-conformal group action is nothing but the natural generalization of the concept of conformal symmetry to phase space. Okay? This is the minimal extent. If you want to have an algebraic structure that includes a conformal action on the coordinates and conformal action on the momenta, I claim that the quasi-conformal action is the smallest algebraic structure that will include those. Okay, so there are three different E7s sitting here. Linear E7,
under which this transforms linearly. And then there is a conformally seven acting on the coordinates and momenta. Well, anyways, by truncation, you can obtain the quasi-conformal realizations or minimal representations of other exceptional groups. Actually, we extended that realization to the unitary quasi-conformal realization and the corresponding minimal unitary representations of for all U-duality groups that come up in three dimensions defined by Jordan algebra of degree 3. I mean, these are the, remember, the very special supergravities whose scale manifolds I wrote down earlier in three dimensions, so that they have the form of a quasi-conformal group of a Jordan algebra of degree 3 modeled out by the compact form of the conformal group times SU2. So by the same argument, then you expect these groups to act as spectrum generating symmetries in four dimensions, even though they are three-dimensional UDL-T groups. Now, in fact, you know, this quasi-conformal realization extends to all groups and all non-compact groups. I won't go into that. I think I'm running out. Let me speed up. Now, here, I should come to the work of Boris Kajdan and Pioli. Now, there was a paper of Boris and Piolino and Waldron in 2000, where they constructed a minimal unitary representation of E88 and other so-called split simple lattice groups. In their construction, cubic invariant played a key role. Okay, so how is that construction related to just quasi-conformal construction I just outlined? Okay, the key is this formula that relates the quartic invariant to the cubic invariant of the underlying Jordan algebra. Okay. In fact, Boris wrote a paper over the summer which started our correspondence and interactions since then. And in particular, he gave the 4D, he generalized the 4D-5D lift to five dimensions, the 4D-5D lift to all charges, you know, extending the work of Giotto, Strömger, and Yin. And, you know, in terms of, in the Jordan language, it takes this form, okay? Now, this 4D, 5D lift is consistent with the proposal, early proposal we made, that somehow the four-dimensional UDL group should act as a spectrum generating symmetry in five dimensions, okay? But, in addition, Boris made a conjecture or suggestion that the minimal unitary representation of E88 may underlie the macroscopic degeneracy of N equals 8 black holes. I mean, that, again, is in accord with the proposal that three-dimensional UDL-T group, which is E88, should act as a spectrum-generating symmetry in four dimensions. And what's interesting is that, you know, I was dumbfounded when I was reading his paper to see that the list of Legendre invariant cubic polynomials he had quoted from Ettinger, Kajdan, and Polyshuk, so that list is identical to the list of the cubic forms that I described to you earlier of the, related to Jordan algebras. Okay. And a joint identity that I wrote on earlier for this cubic form implies Legendre invariance, as Boris explained last time. Okay. So this is a Legendre invariant, and it follows from this joint identity. Now, I should mention an aside, by the way, since I was, I mean, the space-time point of view I mentioned because it makes you comfortable to relate to some of these algebraic structures, but I should mention, this is an aside, that this adjoint identity, in the case of four simple Jordan algebras of degree 3, is equivalent to the fierce identities for the existence of supersymmetric Young Mills in the critical dimensions. The way that comes about, you know, take the 3x3 matrix, split into 2x2 plus the rest. Like, except, over the octonians, you have now this 10-dimensional guy, you have 16 and a singlet. Okay? This is the spinner. The joint identity, you know, relates this to vector and itself, and Sierra showed that actually that they correspond precisely to the fierce identities. In the recent extension of this, you know, when we moved public, we extended, you know, when we gave the quasi-conformal realization of the three-dimensional duality groups, we extended this to some remarkable fierce identities in two higher dimensions of signature like 10,2, 6,2, 4,2, and 3,2. And what the corresponding theories are, I mean, that's actually something that will be interesting to investigate. Okay. Anyway, the as Boris explained, you know, we have an ongoing work with Nitzke and Waldron on the interrepresentation of three-dimensional UDL groups and their relevance to the understanding of BPS black hole degeneracies, OSP conjecture, etc. And I will refer you to Boris's talk on this, but I would like to make a couple of comments here. Now, we're looking at more general unitary representations than just the minimal representation, but I expect the minimal representation to play a special role because the minimal unitary representations are just analogs of the singleton irreps of the symplectic group SP2NR. In fact, for the SP2NR, the quartic invariant vanishes and the minimal realization becomes the free boson realization in terms of bilinears. Okay? And as you know, the entire holomorphic discrete series of SP2NR can be obtained by tensoring the singleton representation with itself. Like for the three-dimensional ADS group, like singleton with singleton give all the masses irreps. By taking three coverage, you get massive irreps and so on. So that I expect the minimal unitary representation to play a similar role for the UDLT groups. Okay. Of course, there are many open issues. Well, I mentioned two of them. I mean, how do we go from the supergravity framework to superstrings? Of course, we have to go to the discrete subgroups of the UDLT groups. Maybe in that case, we may be forced to look at only automorphic representations. That's completely open at this point. And then, what is the analog of the spectral generic symmetry for, you know, M theory or spring string compactor over the Calabi-Yau threefold? I don't know, maybe some of these hyperbolic algebras that you studied, I don't know. I mean, this is another important open problem that I think would be interesting to look at. I think I'll stop now.
You have a generalization of conformal symmetry. Is there some corresponding generalization of an anti-visitor space? So that
beautiful question. Yes, in fact, there is a generalization that you know the well. You see, this ADS CFT correspondence is the relation between 5 and 4 dimensions. I'm looking at that now. The corresponding picture for 4 to 3. That's anyway, it's another story in itself. In fact, these four-dimensional UDLT groups, okay, you know, they for the symmetric spaces, they can map to the so-called bounded symmetric domains, and they have a natural Bergmann-Shiloh boundary. Okay, you can act on the boundary. Or you can act in the upper half plane of the Jordan algebra. In fact, they all can be identified with the upper half planes of Jordan algebra. I should mention that. See, really, I mean, you can act either on the boundary or on the upper half plane. In fact, yeah, that's right.
And there's a Riemannian
metric. Yes, they've been studied ad nauseum by mathematicians actually.
So the isometries.
Yes, exactly.
And there's generalized conformal.
Exactly. Now, I should mention that Kircher, you know, he started as somebody working on automorphic function theory, and he thought that the natural way to formulate the automorphic function is using Jordan algebras. He digressed into Jordan algebra, but he never came back, basically. He got stuck with the beautiful geometries and so on. But it's an interesting story, actually. You know, there are these papers about defining theta function using Jordan algebras and so on. I'm glad to talk to you about it if you're interested.
But this is like the SCFT in the moduli space,
not exactly,
the
exactly. But another point, I told you that I also another point of it, which look at them from a space-time point of view, is conformal groups versus Lorentz group sense that there is a general distribution of the concept of ADS group also in that case. Yeah. I mean, that's, well, something close to my heart. We'll see whether it will be relevant, those generalized space times.
Any further questions? No. Thank you.